Borgshu received Berger in his office next to the boardroom. He looked concerned.
"I heard that you hurt yourself," he said, pointing to her foot.
"It'll pass," Berger said,
leaning her crutches against his desk as she sat down in the guest chair.
"Well, that's good. Erika, you've been here a month, and I want us to have a chance to catch up. How do you feel it's going?"
"I have to discuss Vitavara with him. But how? When?"
"I've begun to get a handle on the situation. There are two sides to it. On the one hand, SMP has financial problems and the budget is strangling the newspaper. On the other, SMP has a huge amount of dead meat in the newsroom."
"Aren't there any positive aspects?"
"Of course there are. A whole bunch of experienced professionals who know how to do their jobs. The problem is the ones who won't let them do their jobs."
"Holm has spoken to me."
"I know."
Borgshu looked puzzled.
"He has a number of opinions about you. Almost all of them are negative."
"That's okay. I have a number of opinions about him, too."
"Also negative? It's no good if the two of you can't work together."
"I have no problem working with him. But he does have a problem with me," Berger sighed. "He's driving me nuts. He's very experienced and doubtless one of the most competent news chiefs I've come across. At the same time, he's a bastard of exceptional proportions. He enjoys indulging in intrigue and playing people against one another. I've worked in the media for 25 years, and I have never met a person like him in a management position."
"He has to be tough to handle the job. He's under pressure from every direction."
"Tough, by all means, but that doesn't mean he has to behave like an idiot. Unfortunately, Holm is a walking disaster, and he's one of the chief reasons why it's almost impossible to get the staff to work as a team. He takes divide and rule as his job description."
"Harsh words."
"I'll give him 1 month to sort out his attitude. If he hasn't managed it by then, I'm going to remove him as news editor."
"You can't do that. It's not your job to take apart the operational organization."
Berger studied the CEO.
"Forgive me for pointing this out, but that was exactly why you hired me. We also have a contract which explicitly gives me free rein to make the editorial changes I deem necessary. My task here is to rejuvenate the newspaper, and I can do that only by changing the organization and the work routines."
"Holm has devoted his life to SMP.
"Right. And he's 58, with 7 years to go before retirement. I can't afford to keep him on as a dead weight all that time. Don't misunderstand me, Magnus. From the moment I sat down in that glass cage, my life's goal has been to raise SMP's quality as well as its circulation figures. Holm has a choice. Either he can do things my way, or he can do something else. I'm going to bulldoze anyone who is obstructive or who tries to damage SMP in some other way." "Damn, I have to bring up the Vitavara thing. Borgshu is going to be fired."
Suddenly, Borgshu smiled.
"By God, I think you're pretty tough, too."
"Yes, I am. And in this case, it's regrettable, since it shouldn't be necessary. My job is to produce a good newspaper, and I can do that only if I have a management that functions and colleagues who enjoy their work."
After the meeting with Borgshu, Berger limped back to the glass cage. She felt depressed. She had been with Borgshu for 45 minutes without mentioning one syllable about Vitavara. She had not, in other words, been particularly straight or honest with him. When she sat at her computer, she found a message from meekblom@millennium.nu. She knew perfectly well that no such address existed at Millennium. She opened the email. "You think that Borgshu can save you, you little whore. How does your foot feel?" She raised her eyes involuntarily and looked out across the newsroom. Her gaze fell on Holm. He looked back at her, then he smiled.
"It can only be someone at SMP."
The meeting at the Constitutional Protection Unit lasted until after 5, and they agreed to have another meeting the following week. Blomqvist could contact Figueroa if he needed to be in touch with SIS before then. He packed away his laptop and stood up.
"How do I get out of here?" he asked.
"You certainly can't go running around on your own," Ed Plinth said.
"I'll show him out," Figueroa said. "Give me a couple of minutes, I just have to pick up a few things from my office."
They walked together through Kronerberg Park towards Friedhelmsplan.
"So what happens now?" Blomqvist said.
"We stay in touch,"
Figueroa said.
"I'm beginning to like my contact with Seppo."
"Do you feel like having dinner later?"
"Bosnian again?"
"No, I can't afford to eat out every night. I was thinking of something simple at my place. She stopped and smiled at him. Do you know what I'd like to do now? She said.
No.
I'd like to take you home and undress you.
This could get a bit awkward.
I know. But I wasn't planning on telling my boss.
We don't know how this story's going to turn out. We could end up on opposite sides of the barricades.
I'll take my chances. Now, are you going to come quietly, or do I have to handcuff you?